So the 10-Year Wilderness Stewardship Challenge began in 2004, and it began because we really didn't have a way to quantify what wilderness management was. We all knew we could go out there and look at it and say, oh, people are camping over here, people are hiking over here, but we really didn't have a way of describing what wilderness stewardship or wilderness management was all about. And so we took 200 elements of what that could include and distilled them down to 10. And in order to meet those elements, what we decided is there's a series of steps with each one. For example, if you're going to succeed in wilderness education, first you had to decide, well, what are your issues? What do you want people to know about wilderness? What do you want to fix, for example? And so to get a certain number of points, say 2 points, you have to figure that out. But in order to implement the plan, in order to actually get all the points that you would need to be fully successful in that element, you actually need to have people on the ground doing something.
People on the ground, does that just mean Forest Service employees, or is there an outreach component to the public in this that you anticipate?
No, there definitely is the need for people to be our partners in wilderness management. We can't do it alone. As everyone knows, budgets everywhere are shrinking. We don't have the luxury of having 5 wilderness rangers. And so we're figuring out how other people can help us. And if people are interested, there's many ways that people can get involved. For example, here in Alaska, we have in many areas a kayak ranger program, and we're working on ways that people from the community could come out and participate in that program if they wished. There's also, in the 10-Year Wilderness Stewardship Challenge, there are elements that people can help us with. For example, wilderness education, air quality monitoring, things that people might be have skills that they could lend to us to help us.
Let's spring ahead to 2014. How will things look different on the ground if the challenge is successful?
Well, hopefully in 2014, if the challenge is successful across the nation, then we'll have wildernesses that have healthy vegetation, clean air, clean water, opportunities for solitude, for people to go and recreate without a lot of restriction.
Would there be more or less guided activity, do you think?
Well, that depends. Part of the outfitter guide element of the challenge is that we have to identify what the need is for guides. And it's not necessarily when people come in and say they want a permit. It's we determine in the wilderness what is the minimum necessary, what is the minimum extent that we need those services. So we might be taking a look at how many guides currently offer services and saying, wilderness is supposed to be a place where there's an element of challenge, where there's an element of risk. Maybe there's areas that you don't have a guide to go to. Maybe you figure it out on your own and you experience that self-discovery. And I think we're really fortunate because if you live down south and you go to a wilderness area, then a lot of times you get in your pickup and you drive past a bunch of houses and farmland or whatever have you, and you show up at a trailhead, you march in a few hundred yards and you see a sign that says you're entering wilderness. All of a sudden the vegetation sort of changes, the whole what you're allowed to do changes in there, and you have a bunch of warning signs, for example. And the difference is very obvious, and here it is not so obvious. I think that's why maybe it's more important here to really pay attention to the invasive plants, to the water quality, to the social experience. It's important to make sure that as things change around here, that we try not to keep wilderness the same, but to make sure that it is retain those unique qualities that for what it was designated.
Yeah, I know a lot of people hold West Chichikov dear for that very reason, the solitude you can find up on that coast.
Right, and unfortunately in West Chichikov, I mean, it still is like that, but I am finding a lot more outlaw cabins up there, trespass cabins, and I'm finding a lot more litter and trash that we carry away. Some of it's way too much for us to carry away in our kayaks.
Do you ever find that when you're talking with people who aren't involved in land management, that they're surprised that wilderness just doesn't take care of itself? I mean, it's wilderness.
Yes, that's true. And that's why sometimes they say wilderness stewardship, which really is the term we're trying to use. We're not trying to actively manage the land. But if you just let it alone and close the door and walk away, that leaves an opening for invasive plants to take over the native vegetation. People can go and build outlaw cabins wherever they want. People can camp somewhere and build campfires that escape. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people get mad when we say management. It's not really management, it's stewardship. We're really watching over it like a guardian.